105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Biz Connect radio show with myself, Martin White. And, of course, we've got two fabulous guests with us, as always, in the studio today. To my right, we have...
Joe Humphrey from Swift First Aid Training.
Joe, lovely to see you today. And to my left...
Eric Übel from Woodpeckers of Kent.
Eric, lovely to have you with us as well. It is half term and it's Valentine's Day as well, guys. So have you got anything planned for this evening? Anything special? Or
Not really. No? I had a bit of red wine last night. But it's a little bit difficult when you're in a kind of a long distance relationship when your other half is 100 miles away.
So you were drinking wine at the at sort of opposite ends of a Zoom call or something, were you?
Yeah,
or?
Pretty much.
Nice. Okay, well, at least you did something. I mean, that's better than nothing. Eric, how about you? Are you a romantic at heart? Have you got anything planned for this evening?
Actually, Joe made a really good suggestion. I could propose this to my wife to have a Zoom call instead.
Have a Zoom call instead. How romantic. Yeah, fantastic. Good. Well, I tell you what, it's going to be good kite flying weather this week, isn't it? I think for half term, that's what they're saying. It's going to be a bit stormy and a bit windy. So, and the sun's shining. So, maybe a bit of kite flying for all those kids that are on holiday this week.
I've got Mary Poppins scenes. So let's go fly a kite.
Absolutely.
In my head now.
Fantastic, good. Well, I think what we'll do, guys, we're going to play a little bit of music, and when we come straight back, we'll start talking about all things first aid, Joe.
Lovely.
So stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the Biz Connect radio show. As I said before the break, we've got a couple of fabulous guests with us today, and I think we're going to start, if we can, by having a chat with Joe Humphrey from Swift First Aid. Joe, lovely to have you on the show.
Yes, pleasure to be here, Martin.
Tell us a little bit about Swift First Aid training, if you wouldn't mind. Who are you? What sort of training courses do you cover?
Well, Swift First Aid, we've been established since 2012, so it's been actually in its 10th year now.
Wow.
I joined in August 2019, just before the whole COVID craziness. Mm. And we have an accrediting body, which is the First Aid Industry Body, mm-hmm. Who accreditate all our first aid courses, mm-hmm. To make sure your certificates are all accredited and above board. We don't just cover just Kent, even though we are based in Sittingbourne, Kent. We do cover across England, so we can tap into trainers right across England. So it doesn't matter whether you're in here in Folkestone or sort of in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. We have the facility to provide trainers right across the UK.
Mm-hmm. And for most businesses, what sort of training is it that's required? Is it sort of basic first aid training, sort of entry-level training? Is that what most businesses need, do you find, or is it more advanced than that?
It depends on the industry you're in, really, because obviously if you kind of work with children or you're sort of part of schools and that, then the paediatric two-day is kind of a must, mm-hmm. To get, because it's an Ofsted recognised qualification as well. If you're just in an office of low-risk environment, offices of people, then you probably just want the emergency one-day course.
Mm-hmm. So that's what emergency first aid at work is. That would be sort of like a one day course. Eric, you must do a lot of obviously your business is all around manual handling of wood, and I guess there's kind of nails and all sorts of nasty things protruding from that when you recycle that. What sort of first aid requirements do you have in your business? Is it that sort of first aid at work? Basic.
Yes, we have to make the emergency first aid.
Yeah.
Also because of the machinery that we're working with. So we have quite some lovely machines that you can redesign your body with if you want to.
Mm. Okay. Fantastic. So, Joe, in Kent, do you do this from your office, or do you go to clients' offices? How does it actually work in practice?
It's a little bit both. We do have a venue in as part of our Sittingbourne office. Mm-hmm. Ideally, up to about six people we can do in a group up there. Or we're quite happy to send in trainers to your business, mm-hmm. or school or any kind of venue that has space to allow for the practicality of the training as well.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of sort of legal requirement for businesses out there, you know, emergency first aid at work as a sort of one-day course presumably is very much the kind of the starting point for most businesses. But at what level do I need to actually sort of appoint somebody and actually train them to kind of be able to do that at my workplace? How big do I need to be?
I mean, you have to kind of risk assess your own business, really, because obviously, like, say, offices are going to have a lot less risk than, say, manufacturing or warehouse environments. So if you kind of risk assess yourself as a low risk environment, I mean, if you have fewer than 25 employees, you're going to need at least one appointed person in... as a first aider. If you've got sort of a large office with, say, 50 more people, you're going to need at least one first aider trained in first aid at work for every 100 people employed.
Okay.
But then you've also got to take into consideration people off sick, shift patterns, holiday cover. So it's not just, oh, well, the law says we need one person. For that one person, I would say you probably want three people to be trained just to cover your business in all the scenarios. And obviously, if you're sort of in a food manufacturing plant or like Eric here with sort of slightly higher risk machinery, you may want to consider like the first aid at work 3-day course, which covers like the injuries in a lot more detail and a lot more of the serious injuries that could happen and sort of what to do. You know, if someone has a sort of open fracture of the leg or sort of a arm hanging off, perhaps, you know, it's like... But
so thinking about sort of micro businesses, thinking about sort of tradespeople, for example, you know, let's say I've got, I don't know, maybe three guys on the road in vans, you know, electricians or plumbers, for example. Do I need to train each of those guys individually because they're going to be working on their own? So is that the kind of the advice?
I would say it would be definitely a good idea to have each of those trained because they're all out on their own. Mm-hmm. They're all dealing with the public. They're driving about. You just don't know the scenarios they're going to come across. They could come across a car accident. They could just come across someone collapsing at home while they're doing work in their home.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole number of scenarios.
And there's no point having Sue in the office trained up on first aid if the guys are actually out on the road in vans all day, I guess. So they're going to need to be able to sort of, in many ways, self-administer first aid or instruct somebody else to perhaps help them.
Exactly. It's not. It's not even if you don't even feel confident enough to deal with the first aid after the training on the scene. It's just knowing how to incident control, you know, knowing when to call for the help, knowing how to deal with the situation. Even if you don't get hands on yourself, it's managing that situation as well.
Yes. And recognizing the dangers, I guess, of, you know, oh, I may have had a stroke or, you know, whatever, and what I need to do next sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just sort of being aware of the signs, the symptoms.
Yes.
Well, actually, this isn't just a normal sort of cut on the arm. This is going to need extra attention. What do I do?
And of course, the other side to this is, you know, we're all you know, members of the public, you know, and at some point we are likely to come across somebody that's in need of first aid, emergency first aid, and it's being able to kind of apply those skills in that context as well, I guess, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, 18 months ago we was as a family on our way to the pub. And a motorbike went into the back of us in the rain and he just fell off. So it was like, you know, it shunted the car a bit, even though we were stationary. And it was kind of like, there was glass shattered all over the road, debris. And it was just like, even though I was still shaking, I had to get out and manage the situation. It's like, right, you need to do that. You need to do that. Yes. Someone needs to direct or stop the traffic. And it is just having that confidence to...
That's all about training, isn't it? Training kicks in at that point and just takes over and you automatically know what to do, I guess.
Yeah, and then have someone reassure like the person who's falling off, are you okay? No, don't remove your helmet, you know.
Yeah.
Do you want us to call for help? Do you want us to call for family?
Yeah. I mean, I have to admit, on a personal level, I feel woefully unqualified with regard to sort of first aid. I think I might be able to just about manage some basic CPR. You know, and this is just stuff that I've remembered from, you know, from my school days, I guess. You know, tilting the head back to sort of help free the airway and making sure that the tongue hasn't been swallowed. And then, you know, obviously commencing some basic sort of CPR resuscitation on that level. But, you know, with regard to, you know, how I would manage somebody that had possibly had a stroke or heart attack. I mean, I play a lot of golf and, you know, we have a defibrillator at the golf club, but I wouldn't necessarily feel confident, you know, in using that either. I know the instructions are on it and everything else, but, you know, for someone that hasn't been trained or sort of gone through that live, as it were, it must be a pretty frightening experience, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you say, there's, I mean, I noticed as we come into the studio today, there's defibrillator on the way in.
Yeah.
But you have got to have that extra confidence to use it, even though most of them do have the instructions as you go to tell you how to use it.
Yeah.
The main thing is just keeping that heart pumping while someone sort of goes and gets a defibrillator and organises all that. So
fantastic. Good. So I think there's a lesson there for all of us in terms of, you know, whether it's at work or not at work. I think these are sort of basic skills that we all really ought to have. Tell us about COVID and how that's kind of affected businesses and their first aid kind of, you know, compliance, Joe. Have certificates sort of expired and businesses not got round to renewing them, or
well, during COVID, our accrediting body did do a certificate extension for a period of time. First aid training was suspended right at the beginning of COVID, but then they decided, obviously, this was going to cause a problem, so certificates expiries did get extended by 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was extended again, but now all the extensions are off, they've all ceased, and people just need to sort of get retrained up. If their certificates have expired, then things like online refreshers or requalification courses, they're going to have to do the whole thing again, really.
Mm-hmm. So the message is, you know, check your certificate expiry dates. It wasn't something that you were required to, you know, keep updated under COVID, but it may well be time to relook at that now, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, normally we can train people with after a month of expiry, but if it's over a month, then that's it. You have to go and do, like, the full courses again.
You have to start from the beginning again.
Yeah, well, I mean, normally we recommend sort of getting retrained within 2 to 3 months of the expiry from happening, so you don't have any kind of gaps where it sort of just expires.
And COVID safety?
COVID safety, we operate, obviously, a COVID-safe environment. We like to allow venues to have social distancing for everyone, and obviously practicality, hand sanitizer, and there were masks available for every training. There's a COVID questionnaire people have to fill out. Before the training, we conduct a full room risk assessment, because it's like the room we're in now, Martin. I mean, imagine trying to get 12 people in here for first aid training. It just wouldn't work. You could probably do 2 to 3 people in here maximum if you cleared out the table. So you have to room risk assess as well.
Yeah, so people don't need to worry about that side of it. You've got all of that taken care of.
Definitely. And the trainers we use are all ex-emergency or working for the emergency services. So they're all fully aware of, obviously, the extra hygiene as well required.
Paramedics or whatever they might be.
And also, like, with the CPR during COVID, and I think some of them are still doing it now, there was, like, they stopped doing the rescue breaths in the CPR training. The main thing was just to do the CPR and just keep that heart pumping. So the rescue breaths got suspended for that.
Okay. Fine. Well, Joe, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for walking us through that. And I think, as I say, the message is, you know, how important it is that we all sort of have a basic level of skills there and training. I think what we'll do now, we'll play a little bit more music. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the other training courses that you guys offer as well, if we can, because I know it's not just first aid training that you guys are involved with. So do stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for joining the Biz Connect radio show this afternoon. We've got two fabulous studio guests with us. We've got Joe Humphrey from Swift First Aid Training, and we've also got Eric Ubel from Woodpeckers of Kent. Guys, lovely to have you with us today.
Lovely, yes.
Yep,
been fab
absolutely.
So far.
Yeah. Super to have you in the studio. Joe, before the break, we were talking about how important it is for people to think about their first aid training skills, whether it be in an office environment or more generally just, you know, as a member of the public and being able to administer some basic kind of first aid training day to day. But I wanted to talk a little bit now about some of the other courses that you guys offer as well, because I know it's not just limited to first aid. For example, you do health and safety, I believe, and fire safety. So just talk to us about some of those courses.
Yeah, another sort of legal obligation for a lot of businesses is to have fire wardens as well. So we can do fire warden and fire safety training using firefighters or ex-firefighters that conduct that training. Again, all accredited. We can also do safeguarding training, so that's safeguarding for adults, safeguarding for children as well. Manual handling is another big one, especially if you're kind of like a warehouse or logistics kind of environment, so lots of sort of heavy lifting for people.
There's food safety, is that something you get involved with as well?
Yeah, we can do food safety as well. Food safety is actually on our online platform as well, so you can actually just do that self-paced as a short course, self-paced online.
So you can access that through your website and just pay for it as a sort of a module, if you like.
Yeah, you just kind of buy it there and then via the website. Mm-hmm. So car payment.
Yeah. Not something you can do with first aid. Obviously, you need to do that hands-on, I guess, literally with a trainer in a room.
Yeah, exactly. The first aid qualification does need that practical element to it. So even though we do have an online refresher for the emergency first aid course, which we recommend you do yearly after taking the emergency first aid work course, obviously you can't just do that and expect to have the full first aid qualification. It just doesn't work like that. Yeah. You have to, you know, you can't learn CPR properly without doing it on the mannequins or anything.
Course, but I guess other courses lend themselves, you know, much more readily to being done online, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole host of courses on there. I mean, there's like a health and social care platform. There's a lot of health and safety stuff, especially for tradespeople. Electrical safety, working in confined spaces, health and safety, lone workers, all that kind of stuff. There's also business skills section with sort of handling conflict in the workplace, leadership skills.
Yeah, quite wide ranging, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're all kind of self-paced online, so you can do them and then do them at your own pace. And at the end of it, you do get a certificate as well.
Perfect, good, fantastic.
And they kind of start from really £20 online, so you know, you're not talking vast amounts of money.
No.
So yeah, it's just really easy to access via the website.
Yeah. Now, I know you also have another business in the group called Origin.
Origin Computer Training.
So tell us about that. What sort of courses do you guys cover there?
Origin Computer Training is basically Microsoft application training. So you sort of Microsoft Excel, Word, PowerPoint, Outlook. We also do quite a lot of Microsoft project training, especially for construction companies. And obviously Teams has obviously waded through there during the COVID pandemic. Obviously because of COVID, we took some of the trainings online. So our trainers can happily train you and your staff via Zoom or via Teams now.
So that is something that can be done
online,
facilitated that way.
It just, again, it opens up us to sort of a wider area now.
And as businesses have sort of migrated back to the office, are you finding that the take-up of those courses has become more popular again?
Most definitely. Basically, the day after kind of Boris announced the sort of rules were relaxed, my inbox was just pinging away with sort of inquiries that had kind of been sort of around for the last year, but people weren't sure. They kind of parked it to one side and then, right, let's go sort of thing.
Yeah. And what sort of courses do you find are the most popular there? Is it basic sort of Microsoft Office stuff?
There's basic sort of Office 365 stuff. Mm-hmm. Microsoft Excel is still probably the most popular.
Mm.
But, I mean, projects well up there for us as well.
Uh-huh. So managing databases, small sort of company databases and things like that, yeah. Fantastic, good. Jo, it's been fascinating talking to you today. Just give us a shout-out, if you can, for how we can get in touch with Swift and Origin if we want to kind of inquire about first aid or kind of more general training courses and computer training as well.
Yeah, I mean, you can contact us on 01795-432-642. We're on all the socials. You can visit our website www.swiftfirstaidtraining.co.uk.
And Origin, do you have a separate website for that?
Yeah, there's a separate website for Origin, origintraining.com. Again, on all the socials, and you can contact us as via the same number.
Brilliant.
As well in Sittingbourne. So it's all run out of the same office, really, basically, in Fantastic. Sittingbourne.
And I know you're very active on social media, on LinkedIn in particular, so just look Jo up on LinkedIn, Jo Humphrey.
Yep, that's me. You'll Fantastic. Find me.
Jo, lovely to have you with us today. Thank
it's
you
been
so
a
much.
Pleasure.
Do stay with us, because I think what we'll do after the break, if we can, is we'll come over to Eric and we'll have a conversation about Woodpeckers of Kent and all of the fantastic work they do in the wood recycling and sustainable business space as well. So do stay with us and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you again so much for joining the BizConnect radio show today. What we're going to do now is have a chat with Eric Ubel from Woodpeckers of Kent. Eric, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great to have you with us today. Eric, tell us a little bit in your own words about Woodpeckers and what you do as a core business.
So Woodpeckers is part of a national grid of wood recycling enterprises. We are either a social enterprise or running as charities. There are in total 30 similar enterprises all over the country, and everything started in the epicenter of Brighton by Richard Mehmet, who founded the community wood recycling in Brighton, I think it was 23 years ago. And through Google search in 2015, I found them because they've been offering reclaimed wood. And I thought, wow, what a nice idea. And on the bottom side of the webpage was, would you be interested in becoming an enterprise? And I clicked yes. So
fantastic.
This is how it started, yeah.
Brighton seems to be at the sort of epicenter of all things green, doesn't it? I mean, they have a green MP who's very sort of high profile, Caroline Lucas, I think her name is. And it always seems to be sort of at the forefront of sustainability and those kinds of initiatives. And why do you think that is? What is it about Brighton that seems to kind of draw people towards that?
I believe it's the overall mindset of people living there. Mm. The Brighton community is a little bit of a different one than, I believe, Ashford or Folkestone.
Mm. Mm.
Different.
Yeah. It's just a sort of mindset thing. Yeah, interesting. So, Eric, tell us, what is at the core of Woodpeckers? What do you actually do as a business? You know, how does it work in practice?
So we have national work, which comes from Brighton. This is how this entire network is set up. Mm. You have national work and you have your local work. Mm-hmm. The national work is tapping into the existing developers, like the, some name dropping here, the Taylor Wimpeys, the Crest, the Red Rose.
So larger construction firms.
That's right, yeah. So they call us in to collect their wood, being it pallets, or they have wood bays for us, like a dedicated area where the where they dump our wood and we sort it out manually then. Then after it's being loaded on our tipper van, which is our collection vehicle. Ours is 14 cubic large, so the capacity is 14 cubic in a comparison to a skip. We offer less void space for our clients than a skip. then be sorted out in the goodies and the baddies. The goodies will be then either resold to the DIY market, or we do products out of it, like planters, basic products, planters, nesting boxes, hedgehog houses is the newest project. Mm-hmm. And we have the worst wood is then either being chopped down into firewood, or we also need to chip a smaller quantity of the collected wood.
So there's a lot in there. So let's just kind of break that down. So on a national level, if I'm a large housing developer or main contractor in the construction industry, for example, I can get in touch with Woodpeckers, head office in Brighton, and say, okay, you know, I'm a national concern. We do actually produce a lot of wood waste, and we'd like to work with you potentially with a view to reducing our commitment and expenditure with regard to kind of traditional disposal, which might be kind of through skips, to see whether or not you guys can kind of add value there, save us some money, and actually, you know, make good use of some of this wood waste product. And then that would be a sort of a conversation that can be had then individually with people like you, if they have a project in Kent and, you know, wherever else, for example.
That's right. So the national work go through Brighton, Brighton then contacts the nearest enterprise, also in order to keep the footprint down as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then we establish the direct contact to
then you
the
get
different
involved
and sites. And the the local business works a little bit different. This is the those are the clients also in the construction area or in the industry, producing industry. We contact them. In my case, since I'm the youngest enterprise, operating enterprise, not the youngest, I was for a long time. No. So our enterprise was established 2017. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit age progressed in the sense of the establishment of the company, but I was a passive member.
Right.
Let's put it this way. And I'm being helped by the marketing team in Brighton, and I would like to drop a few names.
Okay.
There is definitely Uncle Alan, who helps a lot, and recently who joined the team as a last member is Antonio, and they do a massive job in order to allocate local clients to me.
Fantastic. So that's Alan and Antonio.
Uncle Alan and Antonio, big thanks to both of them, yeah.
Fantastic. But in terms of, just to be clear, the sort of the main benefit for your customers is ultimately in saving them money, because, you know, you mentioned this idea of sort of void space. I guess, you know, we've all been there with our skips when we've ordered one at home because we're doing the garden or whatever we might be doing, and we just kind of chuck stuff in, and before we know it, we filled it up.
Yeah.
Because of this void space that you mentioned.
Even if you have heavy machinery like telehandlers at site or diggers that can smash it down, the moment you have two or three pallets stuck on top of another, you can smash them down, but just to a certain extent. So the pallets in a skip are the killer number one, and then long wood, so you definitely will end up with void. And our advantage in comparison to traditional skips is, I would say, 40% of void space that the clients save. It's not just the cost. If you compare the skip with us, where we are cheaper, offer a price advantage, it's then if you go into the details, we actually offer a massive volume advantage because of the void space, since everything is manually handled. We can only do this if you are a not-for-profit company, as we are, as a social enterprise. So we have labor.
So you actually pack when you turn up with your truck. You actually pack the wood in, so that it's effectively flat, isn't it?
And we actually stack it. Depending on what it is, we stack the pallets next to another, on top of another, that it makes sense. So first we skim through the area that we are collecting from, and make sure that we do it in the in a clever way, and with wood that is loose in the wood base, we also stack those ones by the kind of wood that we are collecting.
Fabulous.
Yeah, but it's so we didn't invent this again. Thanks to Richard, he did this long time ago.
The system. And because the other thing we mustn't overlook here is. You know, I think the construction industry in particular is very much under the spotlight in terms of, you know, sustainability, waste, in particular. I think it has a terrible reputation for just chucking stuff out, you know, because it was overordered. And in fact, I think, you know, routinely, you know, large main contractors will overorder. You know, 10% or whatever it might be, just so that they never run out of a material on site. And so, you know, inevitably there's going to be a huge amount of waste associated with that process, isn't there? And anything that they can do to then, you know, actually put that right in terms of recycling, you know, that waste product, so much the better.
I can't agree because I don't want to offend any of my clients.
So, sorry,
Martin, to interrupt you there. It's not just pricing and waste. It's also the developers or builders' responsibility environmentally as well as socially. They do get prime spots by boroughs, by counties, and they do have a responsibility, at least from my point of view, they do have a responsibility to the local community. And using us as a non-profit company is support that contributes to the community directly by the people that we are hiring or the people that do come to volunteer in order to get training. We do offer training to them, being it theoretically as well as practically. So we have modules and so on. And there is a responsibility also on the the builder side, beside the environmental one.
Fantastic. Good. Well, Eric, I think what we're going to do now is we'll play a little bit more music. And when we come back for the final part of the show, I'd like to understand what actually happens to all this wonderful recycled wood that you're collecting on these construction sites and what you actually do with it, what purpose you kind of put it to. So do stay with us and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back to the final part of the BizConnect radio show today, everybody. Thank you so much for staying with us. We've had two fabulous guests in the studio, Joe Humphrey from Swift First Aid and Origin Computer Training, and also Eric Ubel from Woodpeckers of Kent, part of a national wood recycling network. Eric, lovely to have you with us.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Tell us a little bit about what happens to all this fabulous wood that you bring back from construction sites back to your base in Kent, in Bethlehem. What happens to it then? What do you do with it?
So we sort it out in the goodies and the baddies. The goodies is either reselling to the DIY market or we do products out of it.
So what sort of products are we talking about here?
We talk about planters. So one example is if you visit Cranbrook town in Kent, you will see a few of those products on the high street. And we are continuing there, so greetings there to the ladies in blue.
Fantastic.
And we also do participate at country fairs.
Right.
With our products.
So you sell direct to consumers?
We sell direct to consumers, yes. Planters, nest boxes, being it birds, being it bats. Although with COVID, I don't know if there's a big market at the moment with bats. We do shelves out of scaffold board. We do signage. We have a CNC machine, and
So how do I, if I'm not going to a fair and bumping into you, can I order this online? Or do you have a website where I can order products like this or commission them? Or
no, not yet. We are setting up an Etsy page at the moment.
Good. Okay, so that's to come in the future.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Yep. So later on in the year when you come back on, you can tell us all about that then. But I want to talk about your bee products as well, because I know you are a very keen amateur beekeeper as well. I've actually seen your hives at your small holding in Bethesden. So tell us a little bit about that and, you know, the types of products that you're kind of producing there as well.
Yes, so the usual suspect is the honey, although last year was a nightmare year for pretty much all beekeepers in this area due to the weather we had. We had frost up until May, while the spring blossom was in full bloom and the bees couldn't get out of the hive because it was too cold. So pretty much no honey last year.
Right.
Apart from the honey, the next suspect in the hive is the wax. But if you do not have honey, you also don't have the wax from the super. So also there was a little bit of a of a low harvest last year.
So not a good year for amateur beekeepers last year.
No, but then again, it's not about the products. It's really nice being able to make products, but if you don't have the livestock that is producing it or the livestock that is suffering due to the environmental impact, then you ask yourself a few questions.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a bigger issue here.
There is a bigger issue. Yes. Yes, definitely. Yep.
Fantastic. Okay. So, what are your sort of plans for the future? Because I've seen your sort of the beginnings of a sort of a brewing industry as well at Base. So, what's going on there? Is that something for the future? Is it going to be sort of honey flavored real ale as well? Or
yeah, there's definitely early stages of the of some mead made of not meat mead. Honey, and I did start trial and error with honey beer.
Yeah,
a nice one.
Yeah, fantastic. Good. And I'm very much looking forward to you setting up a new hive in my garden as well this summer. So
Yeah,
fantastic. Good. So, Eric, what is the best way to kind of get in touch? Let's say I'm a, perhaps a developer or a small kind of construction firm or a large construction firm for that matter, and I have got a surplus of wood that it costs us more than it should to get rid of, and actually I want to do something for the environment at the same time. How can we get in touch with woodpeckers to have a conversation about that in terms of working together?
So there is a basic Google search possible, like Wood Recycling Ashford, and you will find woodpeckers there on a higher ranking. And the second possibility is give me a call, telephone number 07484120586. Should I repeat again?
No.
Okay. Then webpage is www.woodpeckersok.com, all in one.
That's probably the easiest one, isn't it?
The easiest one, and the email would be Eric, with a K please, not with a C, at woodpeckersok.com.
Fantastic. Yeah. Good. And I know you also rely on volunteers as well, don't you, to help you in the business as a community interest company?
This is our backbone, because we are labor intensive as a not-for-profit company. Yeah. We rely heavily, and we are always looking for volunteers. So if you have a few hours to spare a week or a month, please also reach out to us.
Yeah,
we are working together with the Ashford Volunteer Center, and we get random calls from people, how can we help?
Perhaps, with a view to the summer holidays, perhaps.
Any holidays.
Well. Great work experience.
Also half-time now. Yeah,
fantastic. Yep. Good. Eric, thank you so much for being with us today. And Joe, you as well.
Thank you very much for having
us. Yeah, it's been great.
Pleasure. Two fabulous guests today. We will be back in 2 weeks' time, right at the end of February, obviously, the 28th of Feb, with two more fabulous guests as well in the studio. So thank you so much for joining us for now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll be back very soon. Bye for now.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.